So our phones are buzzing all day, our calendars are packed, and we're all secretly exhausted. But Tanya Dalton wrote this book called The Joy of Missing Out that basically says we should stop trying to do everything. Sophie, what did you make of it?
I'm so glad you picked this one. Tanya Dalton flips the script on FOMO entirely. Instead of fearing what we're missing, she says we should find joy in what we intentionally choose to skip. It's not about laziness. It's about recognizing that our time and energy are finite, so we have to be picky.
That's the part that got me. She calls it the tyranny of should. We're constantly told what we should be doing, what we should achieve, who we should become. And social media just amplifies that, right?
Exactly. You scroll through curated highlights of everyone else's life and feel like you're falling behind. That fear drives us to overcommit and say yes to things that don't actually matter to us. We end up busy but not fulfilled.
Yeah, I remember last week when I said yes to 3 evening events because I was scared of missing out on networking. I was miserable the whole time.
And that's the key insight. Every yes is also a no. When you say yes to a meeting, you're saying no to time with your family. When you scroll through Instagram, you're saying no to being present in the moment. Recognizing that trade-off is the first step to taking control.
So the antidote is what she calls intentional living. You stop being driven by external demands and start being guided by your internal priorities. That sounds good, but how do you actually do it?
You get clear on your core values, the ones that genuinely resonate with you, not the ones you think you should have. Then every decision gets filtered through those values. If an opportunity doesn't align, you let it go without guilt.
I actually pushed back on this when I first read it. Isn't that just being selfish, though?
It's not selfish. It's stewardship of your own life. When you say no to something that doesn't matter, you free yourself to say yes to something that does. That's a much better use of your energy.
Okay, that makes sense. And she challenges the whole idea of balance, too. Like, we're always chasing this perfect equilibrium between work and life.
Yes. She says balance is a static concept that doesn't reflect real life. Instead, she talks about rhythm. Life moves through seasons. Some weeks work demands more. Some seasons family needs you more. The goal isn't to do everything at once. It's to be fully present wherever you are.
That perspective is liberating because it releases you from the impossible standard of having all together all the time. I actually felt a weight lift when I read that.
Right? And she's not anti-technology either. She just wants us to have a more mindful relationship with our devices. Turn off notifications, designate tech-free hours, keep your phone out of the bedroom.
I tried the phone out of the bedroom thing last week. I just put on the charger in the kitchen. My sleep has been noticeably better.
It's about reclaiming your attention from algorithms designed to capture it. When you control your technology instead of letting it control you, you create space for deeper thinking and genuine rest.
There's also that priority matrix concept. You categorize tasks by importance and urgency.
Right. So most of us spend our time reacting to urgent but unimportant things like emails and other people's demands. We feel busy, but we're not making progress on what truly matters. Dalton says we should focus on important but not urgent activities, the ones that align with our long-term goals.
Like investing in relationships or working on a creative project that's meaningful to you, that builds your life over time.
Exactly. And she's big on margins, the breathing room in your life. She compares it to a printed page. If the text runs to the edge, it feels chaotic. Margins give the eye space to rest. Our schedules need the same thing.
She suggests leaving about 20% of your time unscheduled. That felt uncomfortable to me at first because I equate busyness with productivity.
And that's exactly the problem. Busyness has become a status symbol. We wear our exhaustion like a badge of honor. But being busy is often a way to avoid facing deeper questions about what we truly want.
True productivity is doing the right things, not just doing things right. I had to audit my activities after reading that.
And saying no gracefully is a big part of it. Dalton reframes saying no as an act of integrity, not rejection. When you say no to something that doesn't align, you're being true to yourself and fair to the other person.
She says remember that no is a complete sentence. I'm still practicing that one.
It gets easier over time. And she emphasizes rest and renewal too. Not just passive rest like watching TV, but active rest like taking a walk in nature or doing something creative.
And we can't forget the relationship angle. When we're always rushing, we're not fully present with the people we love. Half presence is damaging because people can sense it.
So she practices deep presence, which means putting away devices during conversations and actually listening without planning what to say next. The quality of your relationships is directly related to the quality of your attention.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And she talks about setting process goals instead of outcome goals, like focusing on writing 500 words a day instead of writing a book.
Yes, you can't control whether you get the promotion or win the award, but you can control your daily efforts. That shift reduces anxiety and increases your sense of agency.
And she's also into embracing your limitations. We're not meant to do everything or be good at everything. Our limitations help us focus on what we're uniquely suited to do.
Yeah, when you accept that, you stop comparing yourself to others and start appreciating your own strengths. It's more compassionate too.
I also liked what she said about community. We need people who support our JOMO choices and respect our boundaries. That means having honest conversations with friends and family about our priorities.
Most people will understand if you explain that you're protecting your time and energy, and the ones who don't might not be the right people to have around.
The book ends with a call to start small. Pick one area of your life to practice missing out. Turn off notifications for an hour a day, or say no to one social engagement per week. Leave margins in your schedule.
And these small changes compound over time. The joy of missing out becomes a way of being, not just a technique. You feel this freedom as you release the pressure to do it all.
So what's the one thing you're actually taking away from this book, Sophie?
I think it's the idea that missing out isn't about deprivation. It's about abundance. When you stop trying to do everything, you have more energy for the things you choose.
For me, it's the recognition that I don't have to be everywhere and do everything to have a good life. I just have to be where I am, doing what matters with the people I love. That's more than enough.
Well said. And if you want to go deeper into ideas like this, the whole library is over on 7minutebooks.com/app. There are over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It's $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access. So the joy of missing out is really about being fully present for the things that matter most. We'll see you in the next one.